Hilton Trollope is a senior researcher at UCT's Energy Research Centre. We're going to be talking about Medupi and Kusile. And it really is, you know, it takes a crisis like this for us to learn just how appalling has been and is the situation at Kusile and Medupi. The third and fourth largest coal power plants in the world, originally due to come online in 2014 and 2012 respectively, which would have given us an extra 9,600 megawatts of power, coal-generated power. New plants, it would be reliable. Our electricity supply problems would be over. But they are both still under construction. The original cost of the two together was 150 billion rand. The latest costs for the two together are 447 billion rand. Nothing works that is supposed to work. Well, nothing works the way it is supposed to work. The, you know, this turbine, just there's a whole range of technical things that just don't work. Hilton Trollope is a senior researcher at UCT's Energy Research Center. I mean, it is, Hilton, what I've been reading and hearing over the last few days about the scale of the problems at Medupi and Kusile, it's jaw-dropping.
It becomes more and more jaw-dropping. John, good afternoon, by the way, and good afternoon to your listeners. And it's also kind of the same old story, but it just gets worse and worse. And I think what we, what our research shows and has for some time is, you know, one talks about somebody must be held to account. We must do something. There are many people that should be held to account. But the thing is, people should have been held to account for a long time ago, and they weren't. So we have created a situation in which, firstly, contracts are handed out not according to least cost, best performance, or even necessarily the necessities to show performance, but according to who you know. And then secondly, when this is exposed, you know, by the press, in our open free society, while we see court cases and prosecutions and fines and things being levied outside of South Africa, we just don't see anything now. So I'd like to raise with Medupi, for example, firstly, the decision to build Medupi and Kusile was taken in a crisis behind closed doors when Eskom had, by 2005, refused or resisted, but in a passive way, they didn't ever say, we won't do it, to implement government policy, which was expressed in 1998 in the White Paper, then subsequently in a cabinet decision to build independent power producers. This was resisted and resisted until we knew we were going to run out of power. Suddenly, Eskom springs these two mammoth mega projects on us, Medupi and Kusile. No sooner do they get the approval to build them than they go out to tender, and a major part of Medupi is boilers. In 2005, Hitachi Japan form a special company in South Africa called Hitachi Africa. Hitachi Africa tenders for the project, and it is 25% owned by Chancellor Haas, which is the ANC investment arm, and surprise, surprise, they win the tender. Subsequent filings and a settlement in the U.S. Court of the District of Columbia with the Securities and Exchange Commission of the USA show that Chancellor Haas received a success fee for, and this is explicitly stated in this agreement, in the settlement, a success fee for landing these contracts. But nothing is done in South Africa, and I think this is, you know, there's always a bit of, you know, there's always patronage and corruption in big contracts. But at this stage, the signal that goes out in South Africa in 2006, November, when the Mail and Guardian exposes all of this, is one, it's okay to get a massive multi-billion dollar contract with Eskom if through political connections. And two, you won't be punished even when it's exposed. So it's open gates. And we invite into Eskom what we've subsequently seen. It just goes from bad to worse. And, of course, this is an opinion I'm going to give now, but on Hitachi Africa. But if you've landed the contract through having contacts with the powerful, you probably relax a bit about actually delivering. And I think
I think that's a perfectly reasonable criticism to make. I mean, we might not know that we haven't sat in boardroom meetings and so on, but that's a perfectly reasonable and logical deduction to make. And when you look at the scale of the problems with the coal mills, okay, let's start with the boiler design. The boiler design means that temperatures are higher than they should be. The spray water system can't cool the boilers. That leads to frequent tripping. The design of those boilers causes excessive ash accumulation, and ash bags must be frequently replaced, which causes ash blockages, frequent tripping, and load losses. And so it goes on. And it's perfectly reasonable to conclude that that was kind of glossed over and overlooked because people knew that there was political connectivity.
Well, you know, as I say, we can't prove this, but human nature being what it is, if you look around you and there's shortcuts to be taken and nothing happens to other people taking the shortcuts, and there's this basically, it's a culture of impunity and non-accountability. So, and it is deeply entrenched now. So, John, you know, thanks for inviting me, but I want to make another point which I've been thinking a lot about, which is directly connected to that. What we've been offered, possibly by implication or even explicitly, is all we have to do is go and root out the corruption, you know, prosecute a few people and this will all be okay. But I don't think this is the case. The other thing our research shows in looking at Eskom is that it's simply too complex and big an organization to be ruled by command and control from top down. And even some kind of dyed-in-the-wool old state-owned people are starting to say the only way Eskom generation division can be made honest is if it's made to compete. We just don't have the government capability to go in at the top and make them do what they should do. So this unbundling decision by the president, I now support it fully, and I would also support it being followed by, you know, we could start off with our national grid signing contracts with Eskom Generation, but these shouldn't be forever, and we should then allow the so-called discipline of the markets, I'm careful to use the word because big corporates can also be very undisciplined, but we should then use our electricity grid, that's the transmission grid. This is done worldwide. You write regulations and laws which impose the duty on the grid to buy power at least cost for levels of reliability. And they only pay for it if they get that. So then you force on the multiple people supplying to the grid conditions which mean that you secure the power at best prices and reliably.
Hilton Trollope, thank you so much for that.